and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Racing Across America, coming to you live from the backstretch of Saratoga Racecourse in front of Clare Court on Wednesday, July 27th, kicking off week three, and it's a gorgeous morning. The humidity feels to be very, very low. It's been bright and sunny. I've been up here since about 8:20 in the morning, and doesn't seem to be getting that warm. There's a light breeze in the air, but a terrific day if you're able to get up here to attend the races. I like the weekdays. If you want a little less crowd, a little more room for yourself to enjoy yourself, I don't think you can get much better than, remember, a 10-race card. Opener is a jump, and then 9 flat races. The Honorable Miss, the Grade 2 for older fillies and mares, is the feature this afternoon. Coming out of the weekend action, obviously Saratoga having 2 fantastic distaff races, and we're also going to take a look at the big day Saturday down at Monmouth Park. On Friday, Del Mar got underway for their summer meet, so summer action coming to you fast and furious from now and through Labor Day, September 4th this year, I believe. So, going to go down to the Jersey Shore. We're going to show you only 2 races on their big day. I think they ran 14 handful of stakes races. We're going to show you one of Flavien Prat and Chad Brown's 4 consecutive victories on the card. They won the 8th race, the Monmouth Cup, with Highly Motivated, setting for a short time a new 9 furlong dirt record, and that record had stood since the summer of 85 when Spendabuck set the record in the old Monmouth handicap of 146.80. Well, Highly Motivated went 146.53. So that was the first one for Chad Brown and Flavien Prat. Chad Brown ran 1-2. The second one, annually one of my favorite races of the year because of the conditions, and that is the Windstar Matchmaker. And this race has been going on for just my whole lifetime. I mean, at least since the 60s and the 70s. And the key component was Matchmaker. The first, second, and third place finishers in order got to choose from the stallion list proposed. And this year the stallion list was Global Campaign, Tom's de Tot, and Improbable. So you got to go first and chose, and I always thought that was neat. So they score their Prat and Chad Brown, get their second victory in the Matchmaker. Their third victory was after the race we're going to show you, was Adamo winning the prestigious UN. We are going to show the 10th race on the card, hoping that this will have something to do at Saratoga in a couple weeks in what could be a titanic showdown. Mile 16th, the Grade 3, Molly Pitcher.
Pitcher, they're in the gate. And they're off in the Molly Pitcher. And Search Results will battle early with Penny Baker. And Beth's Dream set down. And Beth's Dream takes off to take the lead into the first turn. Army Wife comes away in fourth. Leader of the band moves through to her inside. Then it's Shalimar Gardens, and stretch running Bonnie South is at the back of the field. Beth's Dream is the leader by about a length, coming to the 6th furlong pole, and tries to slow it down now after a quick opening furlong. Penny Baker just three quarters back in second, and Search Results to their outside, a length and a half off the pace in third. Leader of the Band in a good spot, fourth, three lengths off the lead. It's another three back to Army Wife racing inside Shalimar Gardens, three more to Bonnie South. Field heads to the half mile pole in the Molly Pitcher, and it's Beth's Dream showing the way. A length and a half in front of Penny Baker in second, with Search Results inching up a closer third. And now Penny Baker takes the lead. Penny Baker in front. Search Results comes after her. And Beth's Dream trying to hang in there down at the rail, fighting back at this stage. In the meantime, Leader of the Band drafting in behind this trio as Search Results now makes a bold move on the outside. And Search Results is the new leader. Beth's Dream angling around. Penny Baker drops back as they reach the top of the stretch. And Leader of the Band now moves clearly into second. Down at the rail, Army Wife and Bonnie South. But it's all Search Results with a 16th to go. Three-length lead. Leader of the Band trying hard, but can't get to Search Results, who was much too strong in the Molly Pitcher. Leader of the Band was second. Then it was a photo for third between Army Wife and Bonnie South.
A couple things stuck out to me after watching the Molly Pitcher, and for not only horse racing history people, but American history people. You can look up Molly Pitcher and her effort in the Battle of Monmouth. Flavien Prat, coming out of the Monmouth Cup, three path, very confidently with a 4-5 shot down the road. Molly Pitcher, 3-5 shot, very confident in the three path down the road. And looking at the internal fractions for the Molly Pitcher on dirt, you don't see this very often. The third quarter, 22.94 seconds. You don't see that very often. Search Results just took command of the race at that point, and hopefully we will see her at Saratoga later on in the summer. And I think if my math was right, in the four races that Chad Brown and Flavien Prat won in a row, their purse aggregate was about $1.6 million. So kudos to them, which brings us to one of the premier three-year-old races of the year, one of the big two of the summer, the Grade One Million Dollar Haskell.
And they're off in the TVG.com Haskell. Taba is sent hard for some early speed. Jack Christopher and Benevengo. Jack Christopher and Benevengo now go on with it. And then it's Taba in third. One Time Willard is headstrong in the early going. And Howling Time is on the outside, four wide into the first turn and about three lengths off the lead. Then comes Cyberknife on the inside of White Abario, and King of Hollywood is at the back of the field. Long shot Benevengo will go to the 6 furlong pole as the leader by a length. Jack Christopher will track him in second. Taba close up third. Howling Time inching up on the outside, takes the third spot as they get to the backstretch. Then it's One Time Willard, two lengths clear of White Abario past the 5/8 pole. Cyberknife inside of him and King of Hollywood. They're covered by eight lengths. Benevengo is the leader by 3/4 of a length. Jack Christopher is a comfortable second, and Howling Time is clearly third. Taba has lost a little bit of ground being pushed along, and Cyberknife coming through inside of him as they head to the 3/8 pole. And now Jack Christopher is up to take the lead. Jack Christopher puts his head in front. A big run from Howling Time with a 3-wide bid at the quarter pole. At the rail, Benevengo just behind them, Cyberknife, and then Taba. They turn for home. It's Jack Christopher in front, Howling Time. Taba switches to the outside, and he's now putting in a strong bid. And here comes Taba. Taba in the center of the track with good-looking stride, squares off with Cyberknife. Cyberknife takes the lead. Taba going with him. These two in a thriller. Cyberknife just in front, and Cyberknife has won the TVG.com Haskell over Taba. Jack Christopher finished third, and Howling Time was fourth. The running time, 1 minute 46.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Much to take out of this race. First off, Cyberknife looked like King Kong at the half-mile pole. I thought He looked like a winner if he could get run. He got run with Fallon Giroux. He got the inside trip. It was a nice performance for a horse who exits the mat win, a two-turn stakes race at Churchill Downs after his failed effort in the Kentucky Derby. So kudos to the connections, Brad Cox, Al Gold, almost 8-1 on Cyber Night. Very impressive victory. Also, I want to note, looking at the teletimer and breaking the track record for the second time in the day. So I am going to go softly and gently moving forward with the raw numbers out of Haskell Day. These runners also had a third quarter mile sub 23 seconds. So do with it what you will with the raw times. But to me, I think it's fair to say the track was very fast Saturday down in Oceanport. Now we get to Jack Christopher, who the bettors made the 7-10 favorite, trying two turns for the first time. As Harvey Pack once said, not to do is betting horses do something they've never done before as favorites, especially short price favorites. He ran okay to run third. I mean, I thought there were two big efforts beat him. I was thinking back as the race was unfolding to 1999 when Forestry had some similar questions for him, whether he liked two turns. I think he also ran third. And he shortened up for the what was then the King's Bishop and ran terrifically in one of the best performances up here. And I think I've read already that Jack Christopher is not looking to go on to the Travers Stakes, which I would have thought and did think immediately following the end of the Haskell. We'll see if two turns is in his future down the road, but it doesn't seem as if his next step will be two turns. Perhaps back to one turn sprinting, where he has been dynamic since the beginning of his career. I think, look it up here, did he debut on Travers Day, right? I think that's correct. He debuted impressively on Travers Day last year. Maybe he'll run on Travers Day this year, but Jack Christopher could do no better than finish third. But Cyberknife, a very, very strong effort, sharp ride to win this year's renewal of the Haskell. Turning our attention to Saratoga on Friday afternoon. This is one of the races added to the docket as Saratoga began to get longer. They gave three-year-old fillies their second stakes opportunity. The first one was the Lake Placid. Then they added the Lake George. A couple years ago, we shortened it up to the mile.
There in the gate. And they're off in the Lake George Stakes. Al Kahira and Sister Luann, and those two are out for the early lead with Dolce Zell next in third. And then comes Eminent Victor, who's running in fourth. On the outside is Skims in fifth as they go around the clubhouse turn. Al Kahira sets the pace here, leads by a length and a half, with Sister Luann in pursuit in second. And then down on the inside is Dolce Zell running in third. Eminent Victor is next in fourth. Skims is fifth. Koala Princess is in sixth position. And then at the back of the pack are Spirit and Glory and Heavenly Hellos. The quarter, 24 seconds. Al Kahira is the leader here by a length and a half. Sister Luann still in second. And then comes Dolce Zell next in third. The favorite, Eminent Victor, sits in fourth, four and a half off the lead. Then it's Koala Princess, followed on the outside by Skims. And the trailers remain Spirit and Glory and Heavenly Hellos. The half in 48-1. Al Kahira by three parts of a length. Sister Luann. And now Eminent Victor. She makes her move on the outside. Dolce Zell has had a good trip down towards the rail, running in fourth. And then it is Heavenly Hellos. And on the outside, Koala Princess. They are in the stretch. They have Al Kahira to catch. On the inside is Dolce Zell looking for a way through. Here's Eminent Victor on the outside. Dolce Zell squeezed through down at the rail. On the outside is Eminent Victor. It's Dolce Zell and Eminent Victor. They come on for the finish. Very, very tight. Too tight to call. Dolce Zell and Eminent Victor. They were noses apart in the Grade 3 Lake George Stakes.
Boy, a terrific addition of a three-year-old filly race. I know it's a Grade 3, but that is as good as horse racing gets. Irad Ortiz committed to the inside. You see Flavio Prat runs by him with Eminent Victor, the favorite, on the outside. He's completely committed to that run. Eminent Victor puts in a very good effort. Irad Ortiz finally gets to extend himself and the winner inside, and official margin had to be a nose. Yes, it was. And geometry might tell you that the whole entire difference was, you know, the turn where Eminent Victor got all of her run on the outside, and, you know, Irad Ortiz just bided his time and got the chance to finally stretch her legs and score the victory. A terrific renewal of the Lake George. Saturday and Sunday, two outstanding efforts for the Distaffers. Up first will be the three-year-old fillies on Saturday afternoon in the prestigious Coaching Club American Oaks.
And they're off. Oh, it was a stumbling beginning there for Butterbean, and Society was off slow. Society is now moving up, but it is Nest who has the early lead going into the clubhouse turn. And then it is Nostalgic and Secret Oath on the outside. In tight there is Society, and it's a big break back to Butterbean. Society wants to go on with it and wants to go up to challenge Nest for the lead. And Society now has the lead with Nest a close-up second. And then Nostalgic and Secret Oath on the outside. The opening quarter went in 24 seconds. It is Society who leads here by a half length. Nest is in between horses. Nostalgic is three wide. Secret Oath is four wide. These three-year-old fillies are stacked across the track. It is Nest who now puts a head in front. Society is down at the rail. Then it's Nostalgic and Secret Oath racing right together. And it's a big break. Back to Butterbean in fifth. Opening half mile in 47 and 2/5 seconds. Nest is the leader as they head for the far turn. Secret Oath now makes her move on the outside. And the two of them hook up here. It is Secret Oath on the outside and Nest on the inside. Midway around the far turn. It is Nest on the inside with a head in front of Secret Oath. The front two have opened up a half dozen lengths on Society and Nostalgic. And Nest is getting clear from Secret Oath, who's being asked for more. Nest is in front, three quarters in 111, and they head for home here at Saratoga with Nest the leader. Nest in front with an eighth of a mile to the finish. Secret Oath could not keep up with Nest today. It is Nest who is opening up on the field. Nest putting in a grade one performance today. Nest, much the best in this Coaching Club American Oaks. She won by better than 10 lengths. Secret Oath was second. Nostalgic finished third, then Society, and farther back was Butterbean.
Well, two things come out of this for me. One is Nest is just so sharp right now, apexing, that I had little doubt. My consternation for the race was, my one punch exactly was Society, I think, would have had a better chance if after the bad start, we had just relaxed a little. I said earlier on Handicap Resort, I thought Secret Oath was there for the taking, but when Tyler Gaffione just, you know, and his mount, I don't know if he pushed her or she just dragged him up into that, I think I would have just laid back and tried to corral one of the big two, and I thought it would have been successful, because to me, if you look at Luis Saez from the 316th pole, he's looking in the wrong direction on a horse that's 6-5, but there was no horse there to pick her up in the exacta. But Ness just dynamic coming out of the Belmont Stakes, no problem shortening up from 12 to 9 furlongs, wins by better than a dozen lengths. So kudos to Todd Pletcher, Rapoli Stables, and others. Sunday afternoon time for the older filly mares. This race used to be run in May down at Belmont Park. Part of their terrific older filly mares series came up to Saratoga a couple years ago. The Shuvie.
And they're off, and it was a quick start for Clarier from the outside. Now Exotic West moves up, and in between horses, it is Malathot and Crazy Beautiful. And the four-year-old fillies race into the clubhouse turn. And from that inside post position, it is Exotic West who will set the pace here. Exotic West by a length. The gray, Crazy Beautiful, runs in second. And then it is Malathot in third. And Clarier is back running in fourth. Exotic West takes the field to the backstretch through a quarter in 24 and 3/5 seconds. It's Exotic West by three parts of a length. Crazy Beautiful is on the outside in second, and then Malathot and Clarier down towards the rail. Exotic West is in front here. Crazy Beautiful inching a bit closer now on the outside, and Malathot is third, just two lengths from the lead, and Clarier is right alongside. The half mile, 49 and 2/5 seconds. Not much pace here. Crazy Beautiful now moves right alongside of Exotic West, and Malathot makes a move now on the outside. Clarier is in behind horses as the field now heads into the far turn. It is Crazy Beautiful who has the lead. Exotic West down at the rail. Malathot on the outside. And Clarier, three quarters went in 1:13 and 4. And they're coming for the top of the stretch with Crazy Beautiful on top here. Clarier, a bit tough to handle there, looking to come through down at the rail. Here comes Clarier up the inside. Here's Malathot on the outside as they move down for the eighth pole. It is Clarier, Malathot, Crazy Beautiful in between those two. It is Clarier and Malathot on the outside. It's a showdown in the Chauvet that's going to go to Clarier, who comes through on the inside to win it under Joel Rosario. Malathot was second, and Crazy Beautiful finished third. The time for the mile and a furlong, 1 minute, 51 and 4/5 seconds.
Well, there you have it. Clarier backing up her Ogden Phipps victory with a victory in the Chauvet. Maybe I'm pig-headed. You know, the idea that I had that Malathot is better than Clarier, I guess I need one more race. I thought there was a chance that Clarier was better. I thought she had underperformed as a three-year-old. Maybe she's matured and she has moved on. Malathot, I thought, was, you know, just not as sharp as I thought she was going to be. They added blinkers. I don't know what to make of it. And she still pushed Clarier to the mat. Clarier got the inside run with Joel Rosario, Johnny V, the outside run. It was a terrific race, but Clarier was certainly the better horse at 3-2. She beat the 3-5 shot Malathot. But I'd like to see them show down once again. I didn't do the math, but I think Malathot is still leads the head-to-head in the battle. But Clarier, to me, clearly looks better now as a four-year-old than she was at a three-year-old. I can remember, you know, sitting at this desk and people liking her in the two races last year at Saratoga, and I'm like, I don't think she's there yet, but maybe she's there now. Maybe going forward she'll beat Malathot again. I don't know. We will see. But a terrific weekend of racing, and as I said, with Del Mar open up, you can expect the next 7 weekends to be filled with outstanding racing. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Capital OTV is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTV TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTV live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTV TV. OTV TV on Roku. Try it now.
Hello everyone, I'm Scott Vartley and I'm here at the West Condominiums in Saratoga Springs. And guess what? We are down to the home stretch. Everything is two bedrooms and two baths. Come make a selection in one of the greatest condos ever to be built in Saratoga Springs. We're starting in the upper fives and the only rooftop penthouse available now under construction. Wow, just look at this patio. We have a rooftop pool, heated garage, balconies, and a gym. Call me at 518-281-6808.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Racing Across America coming to you live from Clare Court as we kick off week number 3 on a beautiful Wednesday morning. I am rejoined by the Brooklyn Cowboy, Kevin Costner. Talk about, we've talked about handicapping for an hour on the Handicappers Report at 9 to 10 each racing day, and then just did a little review of the outstanding racing at Saratoga and Monmouth Park. But the gambling part of it, which is equally important, and I say 50-50, the amount of energy or time, and I know it sounds ridiculous to people. I think I grew up doing it, and I think many people still do this today. You handicap overnight, especially now we're able to get entries 72 hours. Then you kind of get in line and you start figuring out how you're going to bet. That's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. And the best example I've used, Kevin, to the audience is this. My favorite sporting event in this industry is the Breeders' Cup by far. I just think it's a championship moment, and the betting is, it's just great. And I save up purposely, you know. When my wife first started dating me, she wanted to know if that was my usual day at the track, and I go, I could see the worried look on her face. I'm like, no, this is the take the rubber band off the, you know, you've waited all year, put aside a little money each week almost for this moment. And I've said this is my whole program is, you know, when the early entries come out, I do almost 7 days worth of work, you know, I just love it. Then you wait for the post position draws. And truthfully, other than the mile, I don't think that often of it a lot, but it can matter. Pay attention. And then I spend the whole last day with a yellow legal form. I bet exactas, six horse exacta boxes on races that, you know, aren't the distaff. Trifectas, which are my bet. Win bets and a small amount of superfectas. I don't play horizontals. And I look at it and go over it for hours and hours on end. And then when I go to the track, I go to the ones at warm weather places. I don't really worry about weather changing it. I just take my legal pad. I go as soon as the windows open up, and I just, you know, no one's going to be around. It's like, and I go, here we go. And I just go, here, these are the win bets, and go through, and I'm done. And then I can make action plays, but I figure I spent 30 hours handicapping it. But the betting part is so important, especially for me. You know, I pulled a bonehead move, a stubborn move in my youth about leaving cigar off. And it hurt me that day. But in the long run, it hasn't. And most of the chatter is about horizontals and how you have to take these favorites to go along. I don't find them rewarding in trifecta play. I don't walk away, except in cigar's case. And I learned my lesson, but that was mostly not about cigar. That was mostly about the size of the field in the Breeders' Cup Classic and having a $46 on horse. But tell the audience, A, some of your favorite bets, some of the things that have taught you lessons besides a 2x4 to the head.
Well, first of all, before we get into me, I want to ask you a question. When you are so engrossed in your selections and you're all ready to go, do you ever change your mind?
You ever
say this horse looks bad in the paddock? This horse is washing out.
Or this is no.
Broke through the gate pre-start.
No, my rule of thumb is twofold. One is I have to look under the hood to see if it's a filly or a colt. So what they look like. I mean, I don't want to see white lather, but I haven't seen that too often lately. I change my mind in the era of I make additional bets. I don't move off of it. Uh-huh. I'll give you the best example. A couple of years ago at Santa Anita, Seth was doing this program, which he's the regular host of it. He's off today doing Steve Bick's radio show. He says, you know, can you know, boots on the ground, you're out there, can you give me a call? I said, absolutely. I said, I'm going over to Santa Anita. I said, I'll pull in a Wendy's parking lot. Well, I'll give you 20 minutes. It'll be 6:15 my time, 9, whatever you need. Just tell me when. And I love this horse in the mile. And he says to me, first off, he goes, well, Anthony, you're like the third guest I've had on that loves him in the mile. That first thing tells me is I'm awful. It really was. I was like, he can't be the wise guy horse when this many people. So I moved to a horse. And then I just tell the story that it was clear on this day at Santa Anita that the rail on the turf, the European, I think it was Highland Reel, beat Lady Eli, just went to the front, never had an anxious moment.
Right.
And I knew Torres was going to have the rail. And I could remember his mile race in the Circat, a restricted stakes race, that because the rails were down, I think might have been the fastest mile ever run on the turf up here. Getting back to our teletimer issues. And I loved him, and he was like 12-1. And, you know, I completely pivoted off of the 92 horse that I no longer like. That's the closest I ever get. Hmm. I will add on,
okay.
But I will not change, unless, you know, there's a typhoon or something that really... I can't be talked off my horses by then. I follow them year-round. I've been doing this long enough. But if a guy comes up to me, like I said, negative information. Oh, she coughed the other day.
Right.
That's what I want. I don't want to hear, well, you know what? I like Champagne Room at 35-1. You're not going to be able to talk me off anybody as she wins down the road. And so I don't change my mind.
Well,
I don't.
It's funny you mentioned about negative information because when I...
Best information.
It is. That's why I like putting the beatable favorites in my column. Horses.
Great line.
I don't want to find horses I like. I want to get rid of the horses I don't like. Excuse me. And...
You sound like a trifecta player.
I don't know.
Because that's...
You know what it is? Since I started doing this column 8.5 years ago, there were three drafts to my column. The first draft is I readjust every horse's last race speed figure. And then I see who fits and who doesn't. Maybe that gets a field of 9 down to, you know, 6 or 5. Mm-hmm. And then the second draft is I dive down the rabbit holes with the formulator. And I see who, you know, what trainer does
best. Come out 5 hours later. I love formulator, but a guy who loves numbers, my wife would be like, will you be home for Christmas?
I haven't golfed yet this year. You know, I know you're a golfer. I mean,
yes.
It's too many rabbit holes, too much 3 o'clock in the morning. But then, and then the third and final draft is the actual writing. But so, quite often I find many races where I end up with 4 horses having a chance. And to me, at least 4. It could be 5 or 6.
Which I think is legitimate. I think people are surprised to learn, like, most of the time we don't see it as a one horse thing. It's like, we don't. It's not laser
right.
surgery. It's like 4 or 5 can win. My sisters are always baffled by it. They're like, you like the horse, but not if it's paying too little. Then you like somebody else, even though nothing's changed. I go, well, I'm not playing this game for one day.
Right. And I know there's a faction of people out there. I am a horizontal player.
Okay.
That's
good. That gives the people...
I'm a horizontal player because...
Because you probably win at it.
Well, I have a Ford F-150 out there from a pick 5. So
you do win.
So I drive my pick 5 as I drive.
I have to interrupt here so you know.
You don't have to.
No, I have to. I was able to join a country club and become a better golfer because of Skip Away running off the board in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Look at that. It's about who you could leave out, definitely. And so... That's why I do the horizontals, because mostly the pick 3s and the pick 5s, not so much the pick 4s, because they're usually encompassed within the pick 5. You know, the pick 4 is usually if you're out on the first leg. And if I can get a 3 by 4 by 2 by 5 like that, I get coverage. I get more coverage that way.
Yes, you do.
And I know you're a trifecta or triple, as I like to say. The old school way is the triple. People say, what's a triple? It's a trifecta. We've discussed off camera that you have to get the right horse that's going to come along for third a lot. And some riders don't try as hard for third as others. You have to have that hungry rider who's going to try for you in third. And I'd rather just have my 5 horses in a race or 3 horses and assume that one of those is going to win that race unless something
okay.
silly happens.
I mean, there's a couple things. First off, I get a 24% takeout, so I'm losing the mathematical battle from the beginning. Secondly, the idea, you know, that sounds very suspicious to my sisters is sometimes the easiest thing to do is pick out the horse that's going to win the race.
Right.
Picking the horses around second and third is not so easy. And I say, well, you know, to be honest, my opinion is mostly practically every single horse on today's program, in my opinion, could run third. I mean, I buy many horses in the third spot. Now, in the Breeders' Cup, I can't because the field size are 14, so usually 9 is about as deep as I'll go. And I live with that because I know my bankroll and it works. I would have 2 choices. I can make the bankroll bigger and buy the all. Now, I'll give you the best, and I believe this wholeheartedly. Person said to me you have the constitution and you should do this, and that is to become a Superfecta player in the Breeders' Cup and to get the financial wherewithals to buy the all in the Superfecta. And they have been proven to be mathematically true. I just can't, you know, I got to get this child through college in case I'm wrong. But from the moment this person told me that, if I had done it in every Superfecta race available in the Breeders' Cup since then, I would be way, way ahead. And that's his model. He's a Superfecta player who evolved out of the Trifecta. He doesn't think in the fourth spot. He financially thinks, and he just buys the all button. And he is right. And I've told people, the multiplier between the Trifecta and the Super, sometimes with one of the first two choices, is like a multiplier of five. Well, who doesn't think the favorite can run fourth?
Right.
Even I do, when I'm knocking them all around, think they can run fourth. And he's right. And when this child graduates honors from some school that I could never have gotten into, I might just do that. But until then, but it is accurate financially.
You know, you talk about hitting the all ball, as they say. I try to, if I see one or two legs in my pick five is an all-type race, I just won't make the bet. I'll save it for another day. But I was thinking of opening up this betting service where if you give me $20, I'll bet all in that race, and I guarantee you the favorite will come in.
Oh, yeah.
So all you got to do is just
$20. I can't remember the last time I bet all, but that's, you know, I don't think in traditional day racings, I don't think I ever, well, I did last year we did a special thing for this program, and I wanted it to be broader for the whole audience, and I played in fields of like seven or eight, I would play the all button in last, but that was reasonable because I wouldn't leave off just one horse. There weren't many horses to bet. Right. I usually will bet six horses for third. So with only one more left, well, obviously I'm taking you along. I'm not stupid, said Rich Strike. You know, so it's more important, I think, than handicapping. You should work at it. You should spend time on it. You should not decide in line. And you develop a bankroll. Like, I like to tease Seth. Seth is such a good-hearted person. And I will say this, just so people know, I'll say this tomorrow when we're working together. He wishes Naira had the 50-cent victory versus the dollar. And I'm like, Seth, well, I don't know what your bankroll is, but if you just double it, it's the same thing. And I mean, I know Seth, his bankroll is not $42,000, where it might take a while to get up to 84. But I'm like, just, or play half as many, but you're a good handicapper. Don't get stuck on the 50-cent thing. Find a way to make it work. Like,
right.
And that's, you know, I actually think, I think it would hurt him more than he thinks, because there'd be more bases covered.
Right, because you're not.
You don't want bases covered.
You're not him per se, but you're not honing in on your handicapping. You're taking an easier way out. I'll give you another bet I like. I love. It has to be under the right circumstances.
Don't say the Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam.
You were gonna. You took that out. I go. You're the first person I met that bets it.
I love the Grand Slam.
Do
man.
You?
I love it, and not just the one at Denny's either. I mean, I love not every day.
Good line.
Because usually the final leg is a turf race, and my.
Well, you gotta. I don't think I've ever said that term outside of baseball. So let the folks know that you know really love Saratoga, and maybe don't follow the wagering menu as closely as others.
The Grand Slam is you have to pick a horse to finish first, second, or third in three straight races, and then pick the winner in the last leg. It's a dollar bet, but you could do part wheels. You could do two in the first leg, three in the second, but if they both hit the board, you can double or triple your payout, and you could go two deep in the last leg as well. And it's a really good bet if you don't love the card, but you hate a couple of favorites late in the card. The only thing is the last leg is usually a turf race, and my strong point is dirt more than turf, so I don't play it as often as I'd like. But it's a good bet just to sit back and relax.
I'll tell you how I've never bet it or said it outside. Didn't it used to end with the feature?
It still does.
Oh, there you go, folks. Let the cat out.
Well, I mean,
I'm not faking it. I don't even know when.
That is when the feature is the penultimate race, not the fourth race of the day because of a short field.
Right.
You know, it's usually
good
a feature.
Point.
But you get good value. And here's the thing. You talk about throwing out favorites or beatable favorites, as I like to say. If you have a favorite or two that you loathe in that sequence.
But doesn't it hurt you when they run second or third?
It hurts. It hurts somewhat, but I like, if you don't like the favorite, but you like a couple of horses, you can get paid multiple times just by having more than one horse hit the sequence.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be looking into this. But
oh, I'll convert you.
Like,
come on.
No. I've looked at it. I can tell you that this is the first time that there's ever been a discussion about it since the second month since it started. But that's good. No, but the important thing is this. People look at me, they go, 24% takeout. I'm like, I agree. But this is the bet that my records show I'm good at. So that's the price I have to pay.
When you win, baby, you don't got to worry about the takeout.
I think you always have to worry about the takeout. because the different level of takeout would extend a losing streak longer.
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I could do the math easily if it was ever like 15%, just 15%. Like, I mean, I don't know. On a big ticket, it would be worthwhile. But
have you checked takeout levels for the triple at other racetracks?
Yes.
And said, I'm going to go on. I'm going to bet that track because
there's
a lower takeout.
There's some that are like
some of them not in the 30s, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a couple that are better than New York. California used to be better than New York.
Really?
California used to be. I want to say, well, for me, because what I like, I think it was 20% on all exotic wagers, so that was a better bet for me. But their problem was they didn't have field size to make trifectas effective.
I want to have you, before this meet's over, construct a Grand Slam ticket.
You have a better chance of us going to Denny's and having a Grand Slam than me making a bet. Anything else you want to impart upon? So is that your favorite bet?
No, I don't bet it by rote every day. It's just something
What is your favorite bet?
The pick five, the pick three.
The pick five.
The rolling bets I prefer because a horizontal bet is something I can control because I'm only picking the winner.
Yeah, until the weather changes. How does that control feel?
I take everything and I throw it in the garbage and I start all over again.
No, I mean when they, in the middle of the
race. Oh, in the middle. Well, that's.
Or you get the post time favorite. I'm like, I would have bet the favorite. I understand why they do it, but that's another invention to trifecta.
If I
wanted him, I'd have taken him.
I've been known to tell followers on social media to, hey, there's rain in the forecast. You may not want to bet the early pick five today. You know, you have to look at the weather forecast if you're going to make that bet. You have to, because once again, it's out of your control.
Now, one last thing. Give me 30 seconds. Is there a function of you like to pick three and pick five? Is the pick three a function of liking the pick five?
Do I bet it within it?
No, in that, not so much your insurance. Like, they're two odd bets. You left out the middle one. Is it because they walk hand in hand for you particularly?
Yeah, because okay. I'll bet the pick three, not within the pick five, but let's say the first five races, I really don't like two. I'll be more inclined to bet the pick three.
Okay.
But I'm not going to go five by five by five. I'm going to, you know, hone in on pick threes where I just like a couple of horses. But the pick five, the takeout's good. I've had a couple of really nice scores with it, you know, and that's one thing that can never be taken away is that car over there because that was someday. I hit it right up here for, I guess it came back like,
was it the late pick five?
40-something. I hit it for like a full dollar. No, it was the early pick five.
Okay.
I was sitting right behind Pletcher, and he turned around and said, hey, congratulations. It was like for 40-some-odd thousand, and ate pretty well that night. Me and Jack Knowlton and a couple of friends, we hit Caroline Street. Forgot where we went, but...
Well, that's a good job.
Yeah, I don't bet it every day, though. You have to pick and choose your spots.
I will tell you that from a thinking man standpoint, the pick five does intrigue me. I do think there is no day coming for the Grand Slam, but I do think there is a day coming when I'm going to march up the pick five. I'm going to get a bankroll, separate it, and I'm going to play it the way I feel, which is basically fast and loose, and see if I go to zero or I go to 17. I'm going to find out.
You're only worried about picking winners there. God bless you. You can get your second and third place horses for your triples. I can't control that because my whole job is bent around picking winners.
Listen, nobody talks about trifectas anymore, so I understand I am swimming against the stream. He's Kevin Cox, the Brooklyn Cowboy, all over the social media world. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, some stats from the first 2 weeks. Please stay tuned.
Thank you. set now for the juvenile fillies turf. 14 of them across the track. Here, set on their way. End of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop chopping there we go. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Racing Across America, coming to you live from Clare Court on a beautiful Wednesday morning as we get close to the 11 o'clock hour. I've been here for about 2.5 hours. It has remained an incredible temperature point. I just come up to the race. If you have any chance, or even if it's in your mix of things to do today, today is a day to do it. We're going to take a look here at some of the work that I've talked about for years, that I take great joy in it. I love statistics. I love Excel spreadsheets. Talked about it with Brian Natto, who actually has seen it. So we're going to put them up and just some of the stuff that I add to it. And this is just the first layer of the information I keep to see if we can hold your attention and not bore you. I'm not the type that just looks at wins and two dimensions. Let's put it up. I'm thinking IRAD is up first. Let's take a look at these boards. Let's see if I set the attachment correctly. Wow. That's how it looks like, ladies and gentlemen. Well, there's a lot more to it. But first off, I want to thank Danny and Dino for putting this out, because I have not had to send this to anybody. So let me just walk through a lot of this. Obviously, the left-hand part is the date, race number. Then you have distance. If it's a turf course, the 9 foot, 12 foot is the railing. You see the 7/21 first race. That color with black means that it was sloppy. The fact that the six is slanted means it was sealed. Then you have the classification up to the mark. Now, the fact that it's white on, I think that's, it's either, if it's darkest green, that means it's a firster. If it's the second one, which I think is just Cindy, that means it's a second time starter. The dark green for Leave No Trace for Phil Serpy and from up to the mark, that means they're firsters. You see the price, and then just like Saddle Claws, you see what choice they were. The only difference is, instead of red, if you're the favorite and win, it's just the color of money green. White on black is second. White on blue is third choice. And you saw that he had the 1/4 choice. So he's had 75 starters, and his ROI is $1.43, etc. Now, there's other stuff that I have that might bore you to tears. But that's how I take a quick look, and that's Irad Ortiz, the leading jockey going into week three. Now, I think up next should be Joel Rosario. Doesn't matter, whomever you guys have up next, just put him up next and I can speak to it. So what it basically does is I try and develop a feel, and when we get to Mike Maker, it will definitely be evident. So here's Luis Saez, and I did a bad job because I was supposed to open up column A so you could read the dates, but so there you have it. Now his Domineer win, when it's white on brown, that means it's muddy, and it must not have been sealed. And this is how years ago it dawned on me that the rails were always up. When the rails are down, I put a different shade of green box in there. And you see Mike Maker there four times. And you see Luis Saez has only two winning favorites. And ding, 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 ding. In 59 starts, Luis Saez is 247. So to me, I find that for a little bit of time invested each. Oh, and one quick thing. So you take a look at the third from the bottom, impulsiveness, Todd Pletcher, and you see $40.60. That means it's a five-horse field, green saddle cloth. And the slant means he was the longest price on the board. Remember I said the other day that Todd Pletcher and Chad Brown in the early daily double had the longest price on the board. You don't see that very often. So just a way to show you that Luis Saez, having a terrific meet, only two favorites. Having a terrific meet, as I look at it, ROI. And I'm thinking the third person is Joel Rosario. We'll get to him, but there's Joel Rosario. His ROI is a scintillating $2.30. And he's had four winning favorites, only 46 mounts out of town. And you can see when it's a stakes race, I put it in quotes, and you can see he has four stakes victories already. He has five wins on the turf. He has five wins on the dirt. Now we'll go to the trainers, where I think patterns, if such a thing exists, is sometimes more notable. Now, one thing I want to say before we run through these. The New York Racing Association.com stats and mine for Mike Maker are not the same. I trust mine. I think Mike Maker has six wins, not seven, but we'll get there. Oh, they put him right up. And you can see Mike Maker has won five out of his six have been on the turf. He's had only one winning favorite and an outstanding ROI of 268. And he has used Luis Saez four times, Irad once. And then Tyler Gaffione, the eighth choice in the wagering, paid $20. Now, if I want to make this more complex, also a couple columns over that I cropped out for this show, he says the eighth. He's not slanted. I would immediately look to the far right and I would see whether it was a 9-horse, 10-horse, 11-horse field, etc., etc., because usually sometimes eighth choice in the wagering, and I think we've had about four or five of them at the meet so far. So that's Mike Maker. I think he has six wins. I have checked a third source, and I think the six stands up. But like I said, if you're looking at the NIRA site, maybe they're right and I'm wrong. Hopefully, if they're right and I'm wrong, I will catch up, find the answer, and put it into the mix. I should also have Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher, whichever one you want to put up, gentlemen. So there's Chad Brown. Now, this is to show you that sometimes our memory isn't as good as we think it is. Only two winning favorites. There's Appraise, longest shot in the board, 2480. 41 starters, 257 ROI. Another bad day job with the column A, not making it big enough. Two stakes wins. And you see he's used Irad for victories, Joel Rosario. And then one more, Todd Pletcher, who I think also is having an outstanding meeting. 224. He's won a couple turf races. one with four favorites and the one longest shot in the board should help him with his ROI for a while. So there you have it. That's those. What we're going to do probably the next couple of weeks is that may be more pertinent to wagering. That once we had a couple more races under our belt, week three, is show you some of the trends of the racing patterns that have been victorious, whether they're a mile on the turf or a mile out of the Wilson Chute, whether it's a mile on the 16th on either turf course or in dirt racing, just to see if some sort of short-term pattern is developing. And how it helps me is, I'm most interested in horses that run against the grain of the track. Very subjective, my own opinions, and it's allowed me to make some type of living for a long time, so I'm happy with them. Always happy to learn and adjust my thoughts, but we do it for really the races, so it allows me to collect data on, you know, whether or not I believe the teletimer, whether the rails are up or down, leading to my degree of belief, whether some trainers are having a different type of meet than you think. Chad Brown only has two wins with favorites. Mike Maker, I think most people would be on board with the idea that Mike has terrific success in turf racing. So far, I believe five of his six wins have been on the turf. And then what's more important to me, because price is so important, is the ROI. And right now, obviously, Todd Pletcher and Chad Brown, who we think of, I think people think they have plenty of $3.80 winners. That doesn't seem to be the case the first 2 weeks of 2022. So we'll keep updating that. I'll find out about the Mike Maker, and then we'll start doing some positioning in races, front end speed, off the pace, such and such. You know, one of the things that always alerts me, the teletimers. You saw the two third quarter miles in the Haskell and in the Molly Pitcher that were atypical. We'll be run sub 23. That jumps out at me when you put in a lot of this data. But it served me well. Hopefully we'll get some use out of it and some entertainment for you going forward. So that's a look at the leading meat riders who are, you know, I mean, Irad, it also shows you what you already know, and that is that Irad Ortiz gets bet off the board. But so far, let me see, it's Joel Rosario and Luis Saez, huge ROIs, as are Chad, Todd, and Mike Maker. So that wraps up Racing Across America, ladies and gentlemen. It's a gorgeous day. It's a picture-perfect day. 10 race card out there, 9 races on the flats. Have a great day. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.